the longest study on happiness ever, and the happiest people have the best relationships. Hey, we are Shan and Ryan Tripp, parents of five on a journey to discover what it takes to raise great humans while enjoying the heck out of life along the way.
Sometimes it's easy to let the weight of everyday life, parenting, marriage, finances, get in the way. But what we've found is that as you break out of the norm and do life a little bit differently, a whole new world can open up to you.
So if you're ready, we would love to invite you on this journey with us as we pull back the curtains and have a whole lot of fun along the way.
And it's true what they say, life's a trip. This is our story. How will you write yours?
Let's go.
Heyo. Welcome to the podcast. We're back. We're back. We're stateside. All Shannon can do is just laugh at me.
I just never know what you're going to say to introduce this podcast. But we are back. We're back in Utah. We just got back from Scotland and Ireland, and it was unbelievable. And now my DMs are just blowing up about how they wish Ryan would become their travel agent.
Really?
Yes.
I'm in.
They're saying, can Ryan just share all your itineraries with us?
You know, so here's the thing about traveling is everyone's just a little bit different. And so, yeah, if you missed any of the Scotland and Ireland trip, go on to Shannon's Instagram, check it out. I guess the stories are going to disappear within the next little bit, but we've got a post up. And yeah, it was an amazing trip. And it was fun for us because we did the things we wanted to do. What was funny to me was I think Shannon was having a little bit of FOMO because we put up a question box and then people would comment on what they suggest we do while we're out there. And you just can't do it all. I mean, you're visiting two different countries and we were driving and the kids got kind of tired of driving in the end, but you're out there, you're trying to do it all. And everyone enjoys a different type of travel. So for us, we saw the things we wanted to see. There was a lot of things we didn't do. And if you're thinking of visiting there, you can read a lot of blogs online as well. And some people love the castles and the museums. And for you, Shannon, you always just love seeing the beautiful mountains and the cliffs. The yep. Cliffs of Moher were pretty cool.
That is true. We could share the itinerary, but it could be different for everybody. But
I'll be a travel guide, sure. But I'm expensive, so you better know that going into it. Well, listen, when we were flying home, we had a long day of travel. And I'm watching movies on, my little Delta screen on my, on the seat back in front of me. And kids are sleeping. And I look over and Shannon is just poring over these research documents. And she's just double blind studies and Harvard research, books and encyclopedia. I don't even know how she was traveling with all these leather bound heavy books. And she's just studying her heart out. Our podcast today, our episode today, is to have her share with us what she learned. And I, for one, cannot wait.
Okay, well, just to clear the air, that is not
She had a true. Highlighter out. She was like running highlighters and redlining things. And it was a masterpiece, honestly.
When we fly home, I mean, it's just a miracle if I can't really close my eyes or watch a movie. I'm just all hands on deck. But you know what? I have actually read a lot of different research.
Oh, tell us about
it. Studies. And I want to talk today about the actual longest study on happiness that has ever existed. It began at Harvard. It started in 1938. It's called the Harvard Study. Many of you may have heard of this. The doctor that began this study is called Robert Waldinger, I believe.
I hope you didn't botch his name. He's a prestigious Harvard doctor.
And he was the author of A Good Life. So if you guys have read that book, if you've heard about this study, you may know what we're going to get into, but it talks about what we need to prioritize today to live a good life. And it's not one of those studies where they just, sent out a survey or they watched people for a really short amount of time. They watched people from early adolescence, 10, 11, 12 years old, to when they passed away.
They were like looking life. In through their windows and stuff. They were spying on them.
Everything.
They watched these people for their entire life.
They watched them. They watched
since the 30s.
Yeah. So it's actually really fascinating because there hasn't ever been a long study like this on happiness. And when you think about it, you're like, well, yeah, I mean, what's the, we all want to be happy. If we all want to be one thing, we all want to be happy, right?
I think that's true. I think most people want to be happy.
I mean, does anyone not want to be happy?
I mean, I think some people would say that they don't want to be happy. And, you know, like I think of Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. They just constantly have a cloud over them. But yeah, generally the human spirit wants joy and happiness and peace.
Well,
so let me guess the answer. Let's just skip to the end. The answer was they ate more Chick-fil-A. The happiest people consumed more Chick-fil-A on average than the others.
You're all on the edge of your seats. What could it be? But here's the truth. One day we are all going to die. And that's a reality for me. That's something that, you know, it's actually interesting to think about that because, one day we're going to die. We're going to look back on our lives and we're going to think, did I live a good life? We're all going to ask ourselves that. What do I wish I would have done? What am I happy that I did? And I think that as we get older, that becomes a reality for all of us, right? You age and you're like, okay, one day I'm going to die. And actually, instead of making us more depressed about it, I think it makes people happier because they're able to cherish their life more. They kind of begin to get it, you know, as you get older. And we've seen that with people that we know in our lives. And I think you and I have even felt that. I feel so blessed. I really do truly feel so blessed with my experience in the ER of understanding that probably earlier than most people of like, well, I'm not maybe going to die one day. I could die today or somebody that I love could die today. Cause that's the reality that I have seen. And so that's like that's something healthy or not that I think about all the time.
And I would add to that, that with our religious views, we believe that there is a life after this. And as a family, we can be together for eternity. So that kind of changes the way you look at things too. When you look at the eternal perspective and realize, man, our life on earth is so short. So we might as well enjoy every day. And I think we try to do that. Sometimes you realize you just have to be in the monotony and the minutiae of just daily life and everything that needs to be done. And sometimes it sucks and it's hard, but also we want to make the most. I mean, we just got back from a trip where, you know, we could have talked ourselves out of it or, you know, I mean, but that's what we want to, you know, maybe that's the last trip that we get to take for a while. We don't really know. And, so we want to live for today and we want to do the things, you know, we've talked to a lot of different families that, in fact, on the airplane, we met a family from Utah that they were just in Italy. They were in Rome and we got talking to them and they were saying how they wanted to travel more or go move abroad. And we shared with them our story and we told them, you know, here's a link. You could listen to our podcast. We're just out there hitting the...
Ryan made that little plug.
Hitting the pavement, you know, just promoting the podcast, even at 30,000 feet. But we've been fortunate to live that and that's been our philosophy and we want to share that with others. And I think there's a lot of people that feel that same way. Like we don't have forever and we need to live our lives today because we just don't know how much time we have.
Yeah. And then there's other people that maybe don't feel that way, you know, and it's almost like that's not really, a priority to them is like living life to the fullest. It's going to work. It's, you know, what car can I get next? It's a little bit more maybe of the...
I'll tell you who doesn't do that. Dr. Richard Mildinger from Harvard Research.
Are you guys just on the edge of your seats to know what the happiest people...
Tell me, Shannon, how to be happy.
What the happiest people all have in common.
Vitamin D.
Now, this is thousands of people. The longest study on happiness ever. And the happiest people have the best relationships.
Boom.
Period.
Boom.
The happiest people have the best relationships. Now, here is the interesting part. The healthiest people, the people that lived the longest lives, the people that were thriving in their 80s, also had the best relationships.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. How Get crazy out of here. Is that? So not only does it make you happier, but it makes you healthier.
So what do you do with that information? And
there was so much research. It's actually insane how much research backed that up of like the lowering the risk of type 2 diabetes and all these chronic illnesses that people sometimes will get in an older age. It was significantly lowered when they had great relationships.
So good relationships with your spouse, good relationships with your kids, friendships, good relationships at work. What are we talking about here, honey? And yeah, what is that? How do you define that? What is a good relationship?
So what makes a good relationship? Well, for me and what, and this kind of went alongside exactly what they were talking about. Good relationships are those people you can call at 3 a.m. You know, It's like the safe people, the people that have your back, the people that you, you know, I think about this a lot with us raising kids, our little, when you have small kids, all of you parents will relate to this. When you have small kids or they'll, you know, you go somewhere new and they kind of like, they'll take off for a minute and then they'll look back and make sure you're there, you know? And then they'll go do something new and then they like look back and see if you're watching. Mm-hmm. And you're just kind of that like safe place for them. They can always come back to that home base, that safe place. And I think as I was growing up, you know, in my adolescent years and even my childhood, my parents, specifically my dad, put us in a lot of challenging situations, which I appreciate now so much. But he was always right there.
Yeah.
And that helped me so much in doing whatever challenge I was about to do, because I just knew I could fall back on my dad and my dad was just right there, yep, you know?
Exactly.
And I think we just need that our whole lives. I think we need it, you know, from infancy, toddler, adolescence, to young adults, to even full grown adults. I think we need those people that have our backs and that we can kind of, they're kind of our safe place.
I heard a good thing. You know, that guy, Doc Amen, the neuro brain guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's really good. I like listening to him. He said, he was talking to some parents and he said, you know, you can tell your kids you love them, but don't just tell them, show them and be there with them.
Yep.
Now I want to go back to, if I called you at 3 a.m., you wouldn't answer because your phone would be in airplane mode because of 5G. And so I don't know. Is that a good relationship? If I call you at 3 a.m., you don't even answer my call.
No, calls come through.
I don't think so.
Calls come through.
Not on airplane mode.
No, they literally do.
No, they
call
don't.
Call me right now.
That's the definition of airplane mode, is your cellular is turned off.
No, call me.
Maybe it comes through on
He's
Wi-Fi.
He's going to call me right now.
This is hilarious.
I always
honey.
Have my phone on airplane mode.
When it comes to technology and a disagreement between you and I win 100% of the time.
Wait, is that? Yeah, well, the technology, that might be true.
Okay, you're on airplane mode?
I am.
Dialing. This is funny.
Look at that.
What? Why is that coming through? Because you're on Wi-Fi. Go off of Wi-Fi.
I don't.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, folks. I was wrong. I can admit it. I was wrong. I'm not from Harvard.
I'm not
or anything.
From Harvard. You know, it was cool though about this study because they studied a lot of, I mean, obviously, you know, Harvard, it wasn't just people going to Harvard. It was a lot of the less privileged people. And so it really showcased, even if you don't have a lot, you know, even if you don't have the privileges that somebody else has, prioritizing the relationships in your life is the number one most important thing you can do today to live a good, happy life.
It makes perfect sense. You see billionaires who appear to be miserable. You see someone who is in poverty appear to be happy. When we went to Africa, some of those people had nothing. And we saw some of the biggest smiles. And it would be great for them to have things that would make them more comfortable. No doubt about it. But do you remember the thing that they said where if you make $75,000 per year, that's your threshold for kind of comfort and happiness. Anything above and beyond that is not going to make you measurably more happy, you know, and that's probably a median income for most in the United States. So it's not the money. It's the relationship. And now's a good time for me to come out and say, I was one of the participants in the study. They've been studying me since I was born in 1985. And, it's been a long, arduous process, but it's been my pleasure to be a part of the study. And yeah, I am happy and I have good relationships. And
I actually, I didn't even really prep Ryan for what we were going to talk about today because I just thought this is your wheelhouse, you know? I mean, I literally have studied you while being married to you because I would say you're one of the happiest people. I mean, you've got a little worn down after the last couple
I'll
years.
Tell you what. I'll tell you what, responsibilities and
But truly, yes. Truly you are one of the happiest.
Life can weigh you down.
The happiest people that I've ever known. And part of that, you know, something I'm like, what? It's almost like you're just an energy giver. You know, you have so much inside of you and you're just an energy giver. And I remember thinking early on when we were dating, and this is, you know, continued, is a part of this study that they studied was happier people talk to more strangers.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so interesting because something I've noticed about you for years and years and
years. I love talking to a gas station attendant.
You just love talking to people. and it almost like gives you energy and you give them energy. And
correct. It's a transaction. Yeah. I think that's more subconscious. But yeah, you put this to the test, right? Will having positive interactions and relationships make me a happy person? And I think if we all put it to the test, I think we'll find that the study is true, because I feel that way when I invest in somebody else and I smile at someone or they, you know, share something or say something to me, it's a positive two-way exchange, and you come away from that feeling happier. And then on a deeper level, of course, with your spouse, with your kids, and then, of course, our relationship with God and, our Heavenly Father, knowing that He loves us, He created us, He has a plan for us. I mean, what's not to be happy about?
Yeah. I think I love that. And I think sometimes we can get trapped in
happy.
Trapped in our heads, you know? And I like use that with my kids. Like, don't get trapped in your own head, because sometimes we do that, whether it's you're on your phone or whether you're worried about something coming up or you watch the news or there's something, your head, man, it's such a gift. Your brain is such a gift, but it can also, we can just get trapped inside of our own selves and forget about everyone around us. And that's not something that you do very often. You are always able to kind of like step out and be present wherever you are. But I think that's the gift of being able to connect with other people, is we immediately get to be in that moment. You know, think of when you get on an elevator and you're like, everybody just wants to look at their phone. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody. This is so awkward. Like, how fast can this elevator go? That's one way to do it. Or you put down your phone and you're like, hey, are you visiting? You know, where are you from?
I mean, even I get pretty quiet in an elevator. I'll talk to just about anybody, but in an elevator, it just feels like everyone should just be quiet, not make eye contact.
That's actually why I brought up the elevator, because that's probably the one place where that's probably the hardest place to make
I'm social, but I'm no creep, you know? And in the words of Bob Wiley, if you don't untie the emotional knots, you could explode.
Sometimes it is, I think sometimes it is so hard to make connections, and sometimes you don't need to. Sometimes you're focused, or, you know, you're just on your own thing and that's okay. Or you're having a bad day and that's okay. But I think it is like a muscle. I do. I think the more we practice it, the more we get used to it, the more we, especially if you see people over and over again, there is not one person. Well, I can't say that. Maybe my dad, but there are very few people in this life that I think that,
there's some people that are okay being a wolf pack of one and they're just on their own journey.
I mean, what am I trying to say? Kind of like
some people want to move to the middle of nowhere and be by themselves, and they're on their own journey. Not me. I kind of want to be in a neighborhood surrounded by people.
I'm wondering if they've studied those people. I'm sure, you know,
have they
studied the people that want to live in the mountains? They have no relationships, close relationships. They're living on their own. You know, maybe they do live a long time.
Well, the interesting thing is maybe they have one or two really close, like a spouse or a dad, and that's all they really need.
Yeah.
And so I like having lots of, you know, I have my golf buddies. I got my family. You know, there's the people that you work with. I like having, you know, there's the gas station lady.
you just enjoy people, and you have so many friends. I don't even know how to like begin to count all of Ryan's friends, and everybody probably feels like one of his best friends. He's just a good, good friend.
Honey, you're so sweet. Don't make this about me just because it's my birthday tomorrow.
It is his birthday tomorrow. But also I will say I have always been my whole life like that girl that's like, I don't really need friends. I just want like one or two or three good, good friends.
And I think that's cool too, because you can really invest in those.
Yeah. But I have over the years, even though I still say that, and I still believe that is because I really enjoy going deep. Like small talk is really hard for me. But I will say the moments I have invested in a little small talk, with specifically elderly people, like I just feel like I'm giving them something, you know, and they're giving me something.
Well, I don't think the study you're sharing is about the happiest people have the most friends and most relationships.
You're right.
It's just I think it's
good, rich relationships. The people, yeah. If I know I can call 3 to 4 people in my phone at 3 a.m., no problem. That's kind of what this is
I
about.
I think if you have 2 or 3 people who you love and they love you unconditionally and they're always there for you, that's a pretty rich life.
Because everybody wants to feel more meaning. Everybody wants to feel more purpose in their life. And I just think that creating these like warm, simple connections and conversations in your day and other people's does make your life more rich.
Okay, so love the research and not here to dispute it. I agree with it. And I look at my own life and my closest relationships are what bring me the most happiness and what I'm most grateful for. But if we want to build more relationships, or if you're somebody that doesn't feel like you have great relationships or a lot of love in your life, Shani, how do you build that, right? How do we foster that?
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to be like, okay, yeah, I get it. You know, the research says this, it's very clear how to live a happy, healthy life is to prioritize relationships. But there are many of us right now that can say, well, I do feel lonely. Or there has been a time in my life where I have felt lonely, or I don't have those 3 a.m. friends that I can call in the middle of the night. Or, you know, we all have felt that at one point or another, and maybe you're feeling it right now. And I don't think that that says anything bad about you. I don't think it means that there's anything wrong with you. I think that the best thing that we can do is kind of just take that feeling and that emotion and help it be, I guess, like a trigger to be like, okay, there needs to be some sort of there, like almost like an exciting thing. Like, all right, there needs to be some sort of change in my life. What could I do to better the relationships in my life? And maybe that just looks like you have so many people that you already know or your people, and you just need to foster those relationships. First one I think of is your spouse, obviously, right? Me and you always talk about that. We've talked about it several times on the podcast, just how we have to intentionally prioritize date night and prioritize conversation and prioritize just getting a little time to ourselves so that we can fill our cups to pour into each other's. Like, there's so many things that we have to intentionally do in our marriage to be our best selves, to show up for each other. And then it can go to your children, and then it can go to your parents, and then it can go to your siblings, and then it can go to your, you know, everybody has kind of that like close friend circle, and then it kind of gets bigger and bigger. And maybe you want to add more people into that close friend circle. So how do you actually, I think we all know how to best foster the relationships we have. Or maybe we don't, Ryan. Do you want to give us like a any sort of wisdom on that?
No, I mean, the thought that I have as you're talking is just knowing and really believing and I guess convincing ourselves that our relationships do bring the most happiness, and truly examining our lives and finding the things that make us happy. When you really pause and think about it, you're like, yeah, because sometimes our mind plays tricks on us and we're like, okay, I'll be happy when I'm in that house. I'll be happy when I'm driving that vehicle. I'll be happy when, or sometimes we go to like, we seek happiness outside of maybe our marriage or a stressful day with the kids. And it's just like, for some people it's an addiction, or it's a substance, or it's food, or it's whatever escape, or, you know, or just sometimes we sabotage ourselves and we can seek happiness. But when you really just slow it all down and you're like, all right, for me to be truly happy, lasting happiness, investing in relationships. And so just reprioritizing and making that a focus, making the date night with your spouse important, taking the kids out to kick a soccer ball around, or like one of the things that I've always loved doing with our girls is taking them on a date, right? Just spending one-on-one time with each one of them as a family, as we've traveled and we're locked in a van together, driving for hours at a time and just spending time together. It's those things. And when you, it's just realizing that that's what's going to make us the most happy, lasting happy, not just a momentary, you know, I'm happy when I go play a round of golf, but long term, if that was the only thing I had in my life, that's not going to make me the happiest person in the world.
You heard it. You heard it. Replay.
Dang
replay.
It. What have I said?
Replay.
Edit that out.
Yeah. And it's easy to see it like down the road, but sometimes in the mundane of things, you know, your day-to-day life, it's more tricky to prioritize your relationships. It's easier to get mad at the people that are close to you because you're comfortable with them. And that's the saddest part. Sometimes you're like, man, I treat you worse than I treat strangers on the street. And that's not how it should be. And so I just feel like the more intentional we can be with our close relationships and building that really close circle to us is going to serve us well.
And I think that's a good point because sometimes the things that are the best in life come after the hard work. So sometimes relationships come easy. I think when we find a great friend, it just flows and it's just easy to be around that person and you can support each other either close or afar. And it's just an easy kind of relationship. And then in our families, those relationships can be difficult sometimes because we're around each other and we're mad because we didn't do the laundry or the dishes. And so we've talked about this before where, you know, even a leader of our church years ago, when we were listening to him said, a good marriage requires work. And when we were early married, we felt like it was so effortless. And we were like, what do you mean work? You know, you don't have to work. That sounds arduous. It sounds, you know, our marriage is just going to flow because we love each other. And then you get into it and realize, okay, between the kids and the job and everything going on and we're evolving and we're growing and we're learning together. Of course it requires work. It requires us showing up for each other and going through things that are difficult. Or if we don't agree on something, how do we work through that? So I don't know. I guess that's just another thought that I have as we try to improve and build our relationships is it might actually require a little extra effort and work and discipline. And you know that on the other end of that is going to be a fruitful, thriving relationship.
Yeah. And when you're talking about outside of those comfortable relationships in your home and you hope they're comfortable, you know, and I think they become more comfortable as you foster that connection with each other. But one of the most common questions that I would get when we would move new places is how do you make friends as an adult? And I think this is especially difficult for women for whatever reason. I actually have my ideas on that. And that's the biggest tip I think that I could share. And the biggest tip that I've heard experts share about the quickest way to make friends as an adult is to do things that you enjoy doing around other people. And you think about that with golf. How many friendships have you nurtured and made?
A lot of my closest friends are golf buddies.
Of golf.
Yeah.
And whether it's exercise or whether it's
quilting class,
watching birds, whether it's, you know, watching your kids play sports, maybe that's something you really, really enjoy. And you just go sit next to the mom, you know, in the stands and then you go out to dinner after. But just doing those things that you enjoy because it's an immediate. Something you can immediately connect on, whether it's pickleball or whatever it is, you can immediately connect and talk about something. And, you know, you can do that again and again and again and foster that relationship. And then it builds into something and expands into something bigger and greater. But that would be that's something that we have seen to be true, right? Is just doing those things that we enjoy around and we just meet our people. And getting out of your comfort zone because it's not always easy.
Yeah.
It's not always easy to go up to somebody and be like, hey, tell me your name, you know, like, are you new here or is this your kiddo? Is he the same age? You know, do they go to school? Like whatever it is, that small talk can be really uncomfortable sometimes, but you know, you never know what's going to come from it. So I would just encourage you to kind of like step outside your comfort zone. Don't be afraid of what people think, which actually brings me, do you want to know the last most interesting part of this study?
I have been on the edge of my seat waiting for you to tell me.
So they asked everyone, okay, now we get it. We get what really is going to make people the most happy and the most healthy in this life, having great relationships. And they asked these people when they were dying, what are your biggest regrets? And the two most common answers.
Because again, they studied these people, this group from the time they were born until they died from the 1930s until recently.
Yep.
Then the study came out.
Yep.
That just blows me away.
Well, they're still studying it. It's an ongoing study.
Oh, okay.
It's 86 years going.
Because the people doing the research have probably passed away too. So it's like they've just passed it along.
But
it's like the scriptures. It's like the Bible. Yes. It's like a journal that's been written and then it's just been passed down and down and down and down and down. And then it's revealed to us.
So the two biggest regrets that these people said is they were on their deathbed. Most of the men said, I wish I wouldn't have worked so much.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I wouldn't have worked so much. And most women said, I wish I wouldn't have cared so much of what other people thought of me.
Ooh, interesting.
Interesting, huh?
Wow.
Yep. And so as we're thinking about these relationships, you know, everybody craves these genuine, raw people that are just authentic and real. And that's what we all want. We all want to meet those people. We all want to be around those people. Their energy is amazing. And so for us not to be those people, you know, and live a life, something, you know, like something that we're not, is like, man, that's a wasted life. Cause we're all amazing in our own way. And we all will find our people if we're true to ourselves.
Mm, that's incredible.
But you want to know the one thing that
I feel like that should be a Taylor Swift song. What you just said.
Oh, Taylor, I'm not a Swiftie, but if she made a song after that, I would become one.
That could be controversial. Shannon's not a Swiftie.
I mean,
she's an Abby Carter fan.
I think she's incredible. I think she's
put Abby Carter toe to toe with Taylor Swift right now.
I think vocals. Taylor Swift's songwriting is insane and she's such a good performer and what an entrepreneur, but I'm not a Swiftie. Sorry.
That's okay. You don't need a relationship with her. You've got other thriving relationships.
Wait, but let me share one last thing. I swear this is the very last thing because it's all just so fascinating to me.
That's why you read it on the airplane for 7 hours.
When these guys were on their deathbed, they said, is there a better way to say that?
When they were on their deathbed? No. I mean, okay.
When they were looking back at the end of their life.
Yeah.
And they said, tell us what your greatest accomplishments were. Do you think any of them said, oh, it was that boat I bought or that house that I got into or that job that, you know, the author of this book said most every single one said it had to do with something about the relationship. I was a good husband. I was a good daughter. I raised great kids. It was everything revolved around my greatest accomplishment were my people, you know, my relationship. So anyway, you guys, I'm just trying to really, you know, break it down, make it simple so that we don't have to live our whole life wondering how we can be happy. We just go and create and connect with those people that we are so blessed to be around.
Well, you don't have to wonder anymore.
You don't have to wonder.
Because we broke it to you here on Life's a Trip podcast. And thanks to Shannon for reading the research papers.
You're welcome.
I don't want to, if I can go through my life and not read any research, that makes me very happy. So Shannon did the work. She brought it to us here today on the podcast, broke it down. And for that, I'm grateful. And I'm grateful for you. And I love you. And you make me very happy.
Thanks, honey. Happy birthday.
It's my birthday.
Happy birthday to you. I am just seriously so grateful to be married to somebody that is so happy most of the time. Because the energy that you gain from being around happy people is just, it's just incredible. And so I just hope and am cheering you guys on that you guys all can find true, these like rich happiness in your life, even if it comes and goes. We all have little ups and downs, you know, but it's something that I know we all want and we're cheering you on in this little corner.
It's amazing. Sometimes you have to be that. If I'm having a downer day, I always appreciate you stepping up, bringing a little more of a positive vibe, right? Just the give and take of a relationship and just trying to give and bring what energy we can to the day and to raising a family and just working together.
I can't remember who it was, but somebody said, you know, marriage isn't 50-50. It's like you wake up each day and you're like, hey, I've got 40% in me. Can you take their 60? You know, yeah. I've got 80% today. You know, what do you have? Like it's not literally, or you could, but it is that just kind of like, we're a team. We're going to figure this out together.
Yeah. I've always said, cause you got a baby in your belly, you're bringing 50, I'm bringing 50 and the baby's bringing 10.
Oh,
that's how we get to 110%. Maybe taking 10.
Or taking 10.
All right. Thanks for listening today.
Thanks for listening, you guys. If you guys like this episode, please share. We always appreciate that. And we'll talk to you next week.